So we are holding on Chaf Vav Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We started a discussion on the question. The Mishnah had told us that when you're burning the chametz, you're not allowed to at the same time be using the chametz to fire up a stove or an oven in order to be able to bake bread or whatever. So that led us into the beginning of a general discussion about if you use Isurei Hana to fire up an oven. So we had one braisa saying that Rebbe said. So we had one braisa saying that if it's a new oven, then you would have to break the oven because then you accomplished. You now made it into an oven because it needs that first. It needs that first time that's fired up in order to harden it. So then you'd have to destroy the oven. If it's an old oven and it's already been fired up before, then you just need to cool it off in order to get rid of any advantage that you would have from these Isurei Hana. That. Yesterday's Rambam and Pein Perkach. Oh, no, okay. Okay. On the other hand, then the Braisa continued. What happened if you did bake bread in an oven that was fired up with Isurei Hana like that? Then Rebbe says the bread is also the chamseit mutter. So now, the Gemara had asked then, on the other hand, we have another Braisa that says you never have to break the oven, even if it's a new oven, all you have to do is cool it off. And we said the difference. So first we tried to say that it's Rebbe versus the Rabbanan, the same Rebbe who says that the bread would be also would also say the oven is also. Whereas the Chachamim would say that the bread is mutter, as we're going to see. The Chachamim who say that the bread is going to be mutter would say that the oven is going to be mutter. But we said the problem with that is even Rebbe is not saying that it's also on the ground. Now, you have something called Zevzeh Gerdim, when you have two factors that contribute to make something. One of them is also, one of them is mutter. In this case, you would say, for example, that the oven is one Gerdim. The wood, the firewood is another. So if let's say you have an oven which itself is mutter, and then you used shells of Orlo or whatever, which are also is Zevzeh Gerdim. So fine, when it comes to the bread, we would say in the bread itself, you have the actual wood, when it was still wood, was used in order to make the bread. Because the Chachamim would say that each part of the wood that's making it into bread is only doing so after it's burnt. And therefore it should be mutter. Whereas Rebbe would be saying, yes, Shevach Eitzim B'Pas. Since, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, we're talking about where there's an actual visible flame in the oven the whole time, and that's what's baking the bread, rather than just, for example, just the heat in the oven or something. The point is, we still wouldn't say, even according to Rebbe, that Zevzeh Gerdim should be usur, and therefore that the oven itself should be usur. Or actually, what we would say is so that's the thing. So when it comes to the oven, even fine, it was a new oven. There's shvach etzim boy, but you're not eating the oven itself. You're only using it for other things. So therefore, you have later on when you bake bread in it. If let's say you use this oven that became usur. If let's say it not became also, if you use this oven that was first fired up with klipei orla, later on you use regular firewood in it, you're going to have zevzeh gerdim, it should be mutter. So therefore, so why should we have to break the oven? Even Rebbe shouldn't tell us you have to break the oven. Maximum, it should be saying the bread itself, if you use klipei orla, should be also because yes, shevach etzim apas. But not to go so far as to say that you should have to break the oven, which is also going to be a big hefsid, and therefore it should be considered like bidyeved. So we have to find somebody who would say Zevzeh Gerdim is usur, and then that would be who the first braisa would go like. So we said the answer is that would be Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have to figure out, this is where we're up to. Hey, Rabbi Eliezer, which statement of Rabbi Eliezer do we see where he holds that Zevzeh Gerdim is usur? Elamer Rabbi Eliezer disur. Are you going to say that it's the din that Rabbi Eliezer says regarding sourdough? If you have a piece of sourdough of chulin and another one of truma that fell into a batch of dough, neither one by itself would be large enough to make the whole larger batch of dough into chametz bread. I mean, they would make a chametz to the extent that it's also on Pesach, but not to the extent that it would be able to ferment the bread to be able to make it rise enough to be considered normal bread. So neither one by itself is enough for that purpose. You need a certain size piece of sourdough, and here you don't have it. but the combination of them together makes it chametz. So what is the din? Now, we're not even talking about, let's say there's enough cholin to be mevatel the truma. There's 100 times as much cholin as truma. So the question isn't from the point of view of bittul. The question is from the point of view of the action that the truma is having on the cholin. That's making it rise, right? You have a concept in halacha, for example, called davar hamamid, for example, or you have various kinds of things in halacha where you have something that's essential to a certain process, even though it itself maybe is in a tiny quantity. It's one reason, for example, why cheese made by goyim is also because they would use. Back in the day, they would use rennet in order to curdle the cheese. Rennet is stuff taken as a piece of the lining of the stomach of an animal, and they would use the ones from trefa animals, from nevela or whatever. So even though it's only a tiny thing, but without it, you wouldn't have cheese. Therefore, it's a davar hamam and it's never bottle. So here, it's a similar thing. We're not talking from the point of view of bittul. We're talking about from the point of view of is the truma considered the davar hamamet over here or not? Because by itself it wouldn't have been enough, and it takes cholin together with it to make it up. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achar Achron Aniba. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to look at whichever one fell in last. The Gemara is going to mention soon that Abaye is going to explain that we're talking about where he removed the first one before the second one fell in. So then Rabbi Eliezer says you go according to the last one. The Chacham say whether it fell in at the beginning and the end. It never assers the dough unless the piece of truma by itself is large enough to make it chometz. And Abaye clarifies that when Rabbi Eliezer says achar and aniba lo shono elashakodim v'silikas eiser, that Rabbi Eliezer himself, even Rabbi Eliezer, is only talking about where you remove the iser, you the piece of truma sourdough fell in, then you removed it, it fell in, it started doing its work, but only to a limited extent because it was a small piece. Then you removed it. Then a piece of cholin fell in and finished the job of making it chametz. Ava loy kodem vasilika se'isr. But if you didn't, if truma sourdough is still in there when the cholin sourdough falls in there, then osir, then it would be osir. So when you have, in the case where kodem vasilika se'isr, what you've accomplished by that is, okay, the piece of truma started accomplishing a little bit, that now it makes it possible for the other one to finish. But the first one at least already is batel over there, so you can't say chozev aniyu. You can't say it's like it wakes up again. It's because he took it out, right? All you have left, in other words, is the effect of it, and fine, you don't even have the mamoshes of it anymore. Unlike, let's say, in the case of the rennet and then the cheese, you have the actual mamoshes of it in there. Here, you don't. Before it ever became chametz, you don't even have the mamoshes of it anymore. But if you didn't, and you have the combination, then it's osir. That seems to be zev zegodim is osir. So it seems to be that there we have an example where Rabbi Eliezer says Zev is a Gerdim is also. Applying that to our case over here, that would mean Rabbi Eliezer would say the oven itself remains also the new oven that you fired up with Klipei Orla. Therefore, any bread that you bake from now on in that oven is going to be coming from a thing of Isser, the oven, and a thing of Heter, whatever other wood you use. And Zev is a Gerdim would be also, and therefore the bread, any bread you ever bake in it is going to be also, and therefore you might as well break the oven because you can't do anything useful with it. The problem with that is, the time of the Rabbi Eliezer Kabaya. The question is, who says that Rabbi Eliezer's reason is based on what Abaya is saying? And that it requires us to say that he took out the truma first. After all, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer is just saying the fact is you always go according to the last one because you go according to the Gemar Maisa. So if the truma fell in first, then you would say it only began the job. The cholin finished the job, therefore it's mutter. If the truma fell in last, then the truma is the one that finished the job, therefore it's going to be osir. So therefore, so loishna kodem vasilikas eser, loishna loy kodem vasilikas eser. So it wouldn't matter whether he took out the eser ahead of time or not. Either way, he would always say you go according to the last one. Avo bavas achas hochinami deshari. Maybe if the truma and cholin fell in at the same time, and then maybe Rabbi Eliezer would allow it, even though there's also zev zegodim. So not necessarily do we see from there that he holds zev zegodim as osir. He holds whatever the last thing was makes it osir.
And why is that? And why does he say that finishing is more important than starting? Finish cannot begin.
Why is he saying that finishing is more important than starting?
Finish cannot finish without start.
That's true, but we also can't do it without finishing. So therefore, when it starts, when it only starts the job of making it chametz, the bread by the time that happens, it's not yet chametz. That piece of dough by itself, that piece of truma by itself, is never going to be able to make this dough chametz. Well, less than 18 minutes, or even scenario is that it's small enough, fine. You know, eventually, obviously, you know, yeast would spread. Eventually, obviously, you know, fermentation would spread throughout the dough. But by the time that happens, it would take so long that meanwhile the dough itself would spoil and it wouldn't be edible. Whatever the case, the point is that, nowadays we just put in a packet of yeast. It's not really the same thing. But when you make sourdough bread, yeah, you have to put in a certain size piece in order for it to work. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer might well be saying, if you have the truma felon first, and by itself it would never be able to do the job, then there's no reason to ask for the bread. After all, the truma itself is bottle. You can't say it's not bottle because it's a dovra mamid or whatever, because it's not mamid. It's not actually accomplishing anything useful for the dough as a whole. Therefore, there's not necessarily a reason to ask her. Only if it falls in last, where you're saying you already have the fermentation process has started, and now the truma is able to accomplish something, namely that with it in there, now that fermentation is going to happen, which it wasn't before, then therefore you might say that might be a reason to ask her. That doesn't show that he holds that zev is a gerdim is also. Okay, so no proof that that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Elo Rabbi Eliezer to atzei asheira. Rather, we can answer that it must be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in the case of wood from an asheira tree. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, not to lie, the Mishnah describes over there various kinds of hanah that you're not allowed to have from an asheira, a tree that the tree that over the Avodah Zarah worship. So not al haymena etzim. So the Mishnah says if a person took wood from such a tree, asurin b'hana, then that wood is also b'hana. By the way, we're talking about if the tree wasn't bottle. Any avodah zarah, I shouldn't say any avodah zarah. Any avodah zarah of goyim, those goyim or other goyim who are over the avodah zarah can be mevatel. They can do something to show that they no longer want to worship this, and then it becomes mutar b'hana. And it was in Rambam Shlosh Prakim a few days ago that you still can't use it. You still can't use it for wood for the Bais Hamikdash or korbanos or whatever. But for hediyot it's fine. But if it was an asheira belonging to a Jew, then it can never be bottle. It's completely also b'hana. Whatever the case, so either we're talking about an asheira of a Jew or we're talking about an asheira of a goy where they weren't mevatel. Anyway, so if you took wood from it, then that wood is also b'hana. Hisik banis atanur. If you use that wood to fire up an oven, then it's similar to what we were saying before. Chodosh yutatz yoshan yutzan. If it was a new oven, you have to break the oven. If it was an old oven, you can just cool it off. Off a bias a pass, if you baked bread in that oven, asura bahana, then that bread is also bahana. So far, the same thing as we were saying in the first braisa about the klipe orla, according to Rebbe. Nisarva b'acheres, even if that loaf of bread that was baked in such an oven gets mixed up with other loaves of bread, b'acheres, and even then those loaves get mixed up still with other loaves, even then, kulan asurin bahana, all of them are also bahana. How far down do you go? So actually, the truth is, Tosfos actually says over here, you're not gerdus acheres b'acheres. It doesn't belong in the Mishnah. The Gemara actually, in a number of places, discusses possibilities. What happens, for example, you do have a rule of roiv. After all, you know, we don't apply it in the first case over here because avodah zarah is not bottle even be'elef. But you do have a situation where let's say the loaf of bread got mixed in with a hundred others, and then let's say, for example, of those hundred, let's say so then they got divided into two batches, let's say 60 and 40, and then one from one of those batches fell into another bunch of loaves of bread. Then you have details about when you say it would be also, when you say it's mutter. If it fell from the 60, it'll be also, because it's more likely that the avodah zarah bread, that the bread that was also was in the 60, which is the roiv, rather than in the 40. It gets into complicated things that it discusses in a few places in Shas. But anyway, the point is, So far the Mishnah, and the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yolech Hanol Yamamelach. Now Rabbi Eliezer says that there is a way out of it. You don't have to say all the bread is osur. What you can do is you can take the hana, meaning the value of the wood that went into baking this bread, and throw that into the Yamamelach. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say, so you have you baked a loaf of bread. It cost you $10 worth of wood to bake that bread. You took that wood from an asherah, which is osur. Now what you do is you take $10 and throw it into the Yamamelach, and therefore what you've done is you've gotten rid of the Dmei Eitzim. So therefore you don't have to, the bread
can still be mutter. Omruloi ain't pidyon lavodazara, and the Chachamim said you can't do that. You can't be poida avodazara once it's osur. It's actually there, right? So anyway, the bottom line is, what do we see from all of this? Rabbi Eliezer, first of all, agrees that if you don't take the Hana, the Yam HaMelech, then he's agreeing that the bread is osur, and more to the point, he's also agreeing that the oven has to be destroyed. Now, what would that be? It must be because Zev is a Gerdim. It must be Zev is a Gerdim. And therefore, from now on, anytime you bake something in that oven, then you're going to have Zev Zegerdim. You're always going to have that the oven is going to be osur, the wood that you're using is going to be mutter, and it's going to be Zev Zegerdim, and therefore you're going to have a problem. The Chachamim, meanwhile, would say that actually they would say, So they say that the Hanas Hesek, they would say the Hana that you fired it up, even that you don't actually have the Isser Be'ein, you don't have the Isser, is not actually present. That, so therefore, that was why they said before that all you have to do is cool off the oven, especially on top of that, you're not even talking about the bread, you're talking about the oven. There's still, Rashi explains, they're still not saying L'chatchila that you should be able to use it. That's why they're saying you have to cool off the oven. So a new oven. Well, so the Mishnah is saying over here you have to break, and Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with that. So therefore, we see unless he takes Dmei Hanol the Yam HaMelech. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds Zev Zegerdim is also. So actually, Rashi says when we say Rabbi Eliezer over here, what we really mean is that you have what's called Rabbi Eliezer Umachluktei. You have the Chachamim here in this Mishnah agree with Rabbi Eliezer on the basic concept. In fact, they go further than him because he says you could be poided at least by taking Dmei Hanol Yam HaMelech, and they disagree, as opposed to when we started the sugya and we mentioned a braisa that said that whether it's a new oven or an old oven, you have to cool it off. So what we would say is that we have Rabbi Eliezer Umachlukta, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim who disagree with him are on one side of that. And then you have other Chachamim who are on a different side of that, who say that Bechlal, we're not even worried about the Isser of the oven because Zev Zegerdim is mutter. Yeah. So that shows that Rabbi Eliezer holds Zev Zegerdim, and that's why you have to break the oven, because from now on, anytime you use that oven for baking, you're going to be using you're going to have Zev Zegerdim. The question with that still is, Emor deshamatle le Rabbi Eliezer b'avodazara dechomer isura. Okay, you see Rabbi Eliezer is saying that b'avodazara, which has very, very strict isurim on it. B'shari isurim shabat torim ishamatle. Where do you ever find that Rabbi Eliezer would say such a thing about other isurim, which are not as stringent as avodazara? The answer is, Elim kena mantirmiye. If you're going to answer that, then who else are you going to find? You don't find any other Tana except, again, Rabbi Eliezer Machluktai, who holds that Zev is a Gerdim is also. So necessarily, we have to say that, yes, Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, holds of that, not only by Avodah Zarah, but by other Isurim as well. And therefore, the first Braisa that we quoted about the oven that was fired up with Klipei Orla and saying the oven has to be broken, if it's a new oven, the only one who we could make that work according to is Rabbi Eliezer or Machlokta or the Chachamim that he's disagreeing with in that Mishnah there in Avodah Zarah about Pidyon LaAvodah Zarah. But that's it. It has to be, because otherwise, if you were going to say that even Rabbi Eliezer or Machlokta are only Machmer by Avodah Zarah, then there's nobody left for that Braisa that we quoted before to work according to. Not only that, it's not only that logic. We actually have a braisa that says explicitly that in fact Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing as also with all isurim shabbat Torah. Whenever you have zev is a gerdim, Rabbi Eliezer is always going to say it's also. So actually, Tosfos points out there seems to be a place in a Gemara in Temura that implies that even Rabbi Eliezer says that even Rabbi Eliezer holds in certain cases Zeves Agurim is mutter. Okay, Tosfos over here just leaves it as a question. Tosfos gives an answer over there. But anyway, the point is, in our Gemara over here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Zeves Agurim is Osir. That would be the one, therefore, who says that the oven has to be broken because from now on, anything you make with it is going to be made with something which is Osir, and that's going to make the bread Osir. Okay. Amar Abaya. So now Abaya says, let's analyze the opinions further. Im timtzaloima zeves agurim osir. If you find, now you have like this. When we said we started with a braisa that said that if you fire up an oven, a new oven with klipe orlo, then you have to break it. And then the continuation of the braisa said, what happened if you used an existing oven and you fired it up with klipe orlo and baked bread in it? Would the bread be osir mutter? Rebbe had said it's osir, and the chachamim said it's mutter. If you find any braisa that explicitly says that Rebbe says it's also in the oven as well, even though you're not actually eating the oven, and with the oven, the maximum you can have is Zeves Agurim is also, then it would be Rebbe Heinu Rebbe Eliezer. Then it would mean that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Eliezer, and then there's no problem. The im timtzaloima zeves agurim mutter. If we understand that Rebbe agrees with the chachamim that zeves agurim is mutter, and therefore it would mean that in the braisa about klipe orla, the first part about chodesh yutatz would be actually not according to Rebbe, but according to Rebbe Eliezer. Remember, you have later on in the braisa, you have Rebbe versus the chachamim, whether the bread is mutter or not. But we don't know the ratio of that braisa, tanoshi sika klipe orla, is that part according to everybody, including Rebbe, or is that part according to, or is that part according to Rebbe Eliezer? If you say the first part of that braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rebbe himself holds that Zev is a Gerdim is mutter, and the only reason he says the bread is osir is because you have the shvach etzim bapas, you have the actual benefit from the wood itself goes into the bread. So literally, you're enjoying with Gerdim echad. In other words, you only have one Gerdim of the bread. The oven can't really be considered such a Gerdim towards the bread. If you take that view, and you would say the reason why Rebbe would say the bread is osir is because of this business of shvach etzim pas. If you say it that way, then hani kairos v'koisus v'tzloichias asiri. Then the result of it would be that if you have earthenware, now up until now we were talking about an oven is used less directly. You don't eat off the oven, you just bake bread in it. But what about plates or cups or bottles which were made out of earthenware and were fired in an oven where they used atze asher or atze isser or whatever? Then Rebbe would, and then you have shvach etzim in them. You can't really say there's no gerdim sheni because you're using them directly. So then asiri, then they would be also, because when you use that plate, you're using the plate directly. You don't need anything else with the plate in order to be able to use it, as opposed to with the oven. You can't use an oven unless you fire it up. So therefore, any time you use the oven, it's going to be Zeves Agurim. But when you use the plate that was fired up like that, it's not going to be Zeves Agurim. It's just going to be one direct grama of, it's just going to be just one direct gurdim of Isser. You're not eating the plate, but you're eating off the plate and you're using it directly. Exactly. So ki pligi betanu ukdera. Then we would have to say that Rebbe and the Chachamim are only. So then the argument between Rebbe and Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe who says the bread is osir, but the oven doesn't have to be broken, versus Rebbe Eliezer who would say the oven has to be broken. Then the argument would be between them the machlokas would be about an oven or about a pot. A pot is also like an oven in that sense, because again, you don't eat directly out of the pot. You need to later on cook food in the pot in order for it to be useful. So Lamanda Amar Zev Zagodim Osir. So Rabbi Eliezer, who says Zev Zagodim would say is Osir, then Osir, then it would mean the pot would also be Osir and you'd have to break it. Lamanda Amar Zev Zagodim Mutar Shari. Whereas according to Rebbe, who says Zev Zagodim, and according to the Chachamim, who are even more makel than Rebbe, and say that even the bread is Mutar, then they would. In the first Braisa, right? We said that Offa Baisa Pass, Rebbe Amar Pass Asura, Bachamim Amar Pass Muteres. Yeah, so we had the Chachamim over there are even more makel than Rebbe. They say that we're not even concerned about Shvach Eitzim Apas, because the fact, well, they say you have to cool the oven down because that Lachatchili, you can't use Zev Zagodim, and the fact is it's not a great hefsid to cool the oven down, but they say you don't have to break the oven, and the bread itself that you baked with the Klipei Orla remains mutter. Because you have Zev Zagodim, you have the oven plus you have the oven itself, which is mutter, plus the klipei orla, which are osur. So then Rebbe and the Chachamim would say Shari would say that the oven or pot would be mutter. Ikalaman ikadamri. Then there's another
the Chachamim agree with Zev Zagodim.
The Chachamim in the first Braisa were saying agree with Rebbe on Zev Zagodim. They agree that Zev Zagodim is mutter. It's Rebbe Eliezer u'machlukta. It's Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah with him in Avodah Zarah who hold that Zev Zagodim also. What we're saying.
Right. Why do they hold Zev Zagodim mutter? The Chachamim.
Because
the first Braisa.
The Chachamim hold that Zev Zagodim is mutter because just that. Because you have one Gerdim of Isser, you have another Gerdim of Heter, and the combination is enough to make it mutter. As long as you don't have that Isser by itself was the Gerdim Echad. Now, within that, then you have the question, when it comes to bread, do you say Shvach Eitzim Bapas? Do you say that in the bread itself, in effect, you only have one Gerdim because the major Gerdim of the bread is the firewood that was used to bake it. So there, Rebbe is saying yes, and the Chachamim are saying no, but they both agree on the underlying idea of Zev Zagodim being mutter. So now we're saying applying that therefore to, for example, to plates, for example. So earthenware plates that were fired up in an oven with klipei orla or wood of an asherah or whatever. So what we said is no. So we would say. If we say yes, shvach etzim apas, like Rebbe, then according to Rebbe, also plates and things like that would be also as well. What about ovens? What about pots? So there we have. If we say zev zagodim is also, which is Rebbe Eliezer umachluktei, then we would say those are also as well. If you say zev zagodim is mutter, which is Rebbe umachluktei, Rebbe and the Chachamim who are arguing with him, then you would say that those are mutter. Ikadamri, then there's another version that says no. Afilu lamanda amar zev zagodim mutter, even according to Rebbe and his Chachamim, who say that usually zev zagodim mutter, kdeira asura, they would still agree that a pot would be asur, da kibla bishula mikame denitin etzim dehetera. Because what happens is that if you used atze isur to fire it up, then you have it. Became nisbashal, it became cooked, it became usable with only one gerdim. Because what happens, in other words, in the future, what's going to happen if you have an oven that you fired up with klipei orla the first time? Yes, that accomplished that now it's a usable oven. And the next time you use that oven, what are you going to need to do? You're going to need to use other firewood. So you're always going to have zev zagodim as osur. As opposed to with a pot, you have the pot itself became osur through the one gerdim. And then from now on, when you're using that pot, the hana you're getting from the pot itself is going to be a direct one, and there's nothing else that you need in order to do that. Therefore, even that opinion would say that it's also that the pot, because not Zevah Zagodim anymore, right? As usual, the halacha is like the second lashon in the Gemara, so that would mean the halacha is like this. But first, we have to establish what is the din as far as Zev Zagodim, and what is the din as far as the bread. Do we say yes, shvach etzim apas? So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tanushi sikah beklipei orla. an oven that you fired up with klipe orla, or with kash and shokolaya kerem, or with straw of kolaya kerem, chodesh yutatz yoshan yutzan. If it's a new oven, you have to break it. If it's an old oven, you can cool it down. So far, that's like the braisa we quoted before. Offer by a pass. Then if you baked bread in it, now we have the opposite of the opinions before. Rebbe omra pas muteres v'chamera pas asura. Rebbe says it's mutter, the chum say it's awesome. So the question is, v'hatanya ipcha, at the beginning of the sugya, we quoted a braisa the other way around. So how are you flipping it around? So one answer is Shmuel ipcha toni. You should know that Shmuel actually had a version of that braisa that went backwards. Okay, sometimes you have that. Sometimes you have different amiroyim that have different versions of a braisa, occasionally even of a mishnah, and they have different opinions who said what. One example I can think of is you have at the end of the first parak of Sukkah, you have a machlokas of Eliezer and the Chachamim over there about a Sukkah that you made like with a peaked roof without a flat roof or flat sides or whatever, or like a lean-to where you have a machlokas of Eliezer and the Chachamim over there, and the Gemara explains that actually the machlokas is the other way around than the way we have it in the Mishnayos in front of us. The result being that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah over there, even though usually the halacha would be like the Chachamim. So here it's similarly, right? So here, similarly, Shmuel had a different version of the braisa. That's one possibility. The iboyesema, or another possibility, but alma kasava Shmuel. The other possibility is that maybe Shmuel's version of the braisa was exactly the same as we have it, but he deliberately altered it because ba alma kasava Shmuel halacha kerebi mechavei roy. Usually Shmuel holds, according to the rule that we learned in Eruvin, that when Rebbe has a machlokas with one individual Tana, then the halacha is like him. But if he has a machlokas with the Chachamim in general, then the halacha is like the Chachamim. Halacha k'Rebbe mechavei roi. The halacha is like Rebbe against one chaver, but not mechavei rov, not against many chaverim. In this particular case, Shmuel holds that the halacha should be like Rebbe, even mechaverov. The savar, but therefore Shmuel figured, esnye ipcha, let me deliberately flip around the braisa and teach it the other way around. Even though I know the correct version of the braisa is the way we quoted it before, ki heicha d'nekum rabbanon leisura, this way it comes out that the actual opinion, which is supposed to be al pi halacha, comes out as the opinion of the rabbanon, and that way people will follow it, and they're not going to find it strange that why we paskin like Rebbe against the rabbin. So therefore, according to that, he deliberately flipped around the braisa. The result is the halacha is in fact the in other words, as Rashi says, if I say the halacha is like Rebbe, who's a yachid, lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me, they're not going to accept it from me, and they're going to say, look, the chachamim say you can be maker, we should be able to follow the chachamim. So therefore, he deliberately flipped around the braisa in order to that people should do the correct halacha. We have various examples like that in different places in Shas where a Tana or an Amora will say something different than how it is in order that the halacha itself, because it's more important that the integrity of what the halacha is should be preserved more so than the details of who said what, for example. So even though usually we say kolayim adover b'shem omrim, maybe gula loylam, but it's more important that people should actually follow the correct halacha. Yeah, we're going to learn towards the end of our Masechta, we're going to learn an example of that. There's an expression in the Gemara over there, im bikashta lechonek kitola be'ilan gadol. Literally, it means if you want to be strangled, hang yourself on a big tree. And we're going to talk about over there, Rashi and Rashbam, about what it means is that the one meaning of it is if there is something which you know which you know to be true, la halacha, then you're allowed to attribute it to someone, even if you don't know that he actually said it, because basically you can say he would have said it, and this way people will accept it, and then the halacha will be accepted that way. Okay. You have to really know. Yeah, it's not necessarily for the balabas on the street. Das balabais hepech das tora. After all, yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Okay. Anyway, the point is, so yes, the halacha in the end is like what we said in the first braisa, what Rebbe holds. So the bread itself will be also on the grounds of yesh shvach etzim bapas. On the other, and therefore also we said the pot that was fired up with these klipei orla will also be osur, because again, then you only have, when you're using the pot, you only have one gurdim, but the oven will remain mutter, and all you, you don't have to break the oven. All you have to do is cool it off, and then you can fire it up again. Because the oven, every time you're using the oven, you're gonna need two things. You're gonna need the oven, you're also gonna need firewood. So therefore, so those two things together are zevah zegurdim. So there is discussion in halacha about different details in this. First of all, Tosfos talks about before, when we talk about the case of the two pieces of chametz, of the two pieces of sir, what if each one of them by itself is enough to make the dough ferment? So the same thing over here. What if you have enough klipei orla, let's say, that all by themselves, you could bake the bread with them. You also have, let's say, together with them, enough atzei heter that also you could bake the bread with them. So then do we say zeb is a gurdim in that case, or do we not? Because there was enough klipei orla to do it by itself. I think the halacha is we say that it is fine. We also talk about, is there the noisekelim on Shulchan Aruch talk about that even avodah zara, we can also say zeb is a gurdim is mutter, even though avodah zara, as we said before, usually is more stringent than other areas of halacha. We do allow it. With that said, though, when it comes to chametz for Pesach, there's another wrinkle in it. We said, after all, in the Mishnah that you can't fire up an oven with chametz and use it. And there is some discussion about the whole issue of that. What about, so before the Zman, if you burnt the chametz before the Zman, then fine, you're allowed to have, then usually you're not allowed to have hana even from the ashes of the chametz that was burnt. We're going to talk about that later, but here you burnt it before this man, so then there's more reason to be matter. But if you burnt, if the chametz is still be'ain when it comes into 6 hours on Erev Pesach, or even more so when it comes on Pesach itself, where it's oisib b'mashru, then it's not so simple. Then we might not be able to apply zevah zegurdim. So you have there's two opinions about that in Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, so if you have, so let's say for example, you took some chametz and some wood of heter, and together you put them in an oven and fired it up and baked bread in that oven on Pesach, baked matzah in that oven on Pesach, would the bread be osur or not? It might actually be, because even though usually we're saying zev zegurdim is osur, but on the other hand, chametz for Pesach is osur b'mashu. So one practical implication that comes up for that can come up from this nowadays is when you have gas for a car, you usually have ethanol mixed in 10% or in some places even more, whatever. Now the ethanol is usually made from corn, and therefore it's not a problem. It's kitnius. Kitnius you're even allowed to own on Pesach, let alone to use them. And the question really, what if the ethanol is made from chametz? Might there be an issue therefore with using that gasoline on Pesach? So there's a few possibilities. One of them is that one possibility is because even before Pesach it became, it's not Roy Lachilas Kelev, so that might be a consideration that might be matter it. There might be the possibility that you might have to actually fill. There might be in such a case, you might actually have to fill up the car before Pesach in order that way at least it can be at a time when it can be bottle rather than on Pesach itself when chametz itself is not bottle. Again, on a Tesla. Yeah. Practically speaking, it's not that much of a shaila because the ethanol is usually made from kitnius rather than from wheat. But if they were to use it from wheat, then you might, and that would be an example of a shaila. Yeah.
Regarding breaking the oven, why don't we say very simply?
Regarding breaking the oven, we said in the end you don't have to break the oven since Zev is a
no, no. But I know that. But why don't we say, because it's Hefsek Merubah, that we don't have to break the oven?
Well, that's why. Okay, so one second. Hefsek Merubah. Okay, okay, Avram Moshe, I got the question. Now let me answer. Hefsin Merubah by itself is not a reason to be matter things. You need a basis to be matter something. Then you can say we're able to follow that lenient opinion on the grounds of Hefsin Merubah. Now here what it is like this. Once we say, if we say Zeb is a Gurdim is Osir, then there's nothing to talk about. if you say Zeb is a Gerdim is Mutter, which in the end we're saying both Rebbe and the Chachamim against him agree with that, now we have the question, after all, even if Zeb is a Gerdim is Mutter, you're still not allowed to use it L'chatchila. Why, it's only B'di'evet. If you had something with Zeb is a Gerdim, then it's Mutter. Why over here are we saying to begin with, you should be allowed to use this oven for baking? Isn't that L'chatchila? That is what Tosfos mentioned at the bottom of the previous Amud, that breaking the oven, because it's Hefsin Merubah, that therefore makes this situation into a B'di'evet, and therefore that you're allowed to go and use the oven in the future, and it's considered B'di'evet because the alternative of breaking the oven would be Hefsin Merubah. If it was a matter of, if we said Zev is a Gerdim is also, then all the Hefsin Merubah in the world wouldn't change that. Okay. Going on, we said in the Braisa of Bishle al-Gabe
Gecholim, but we use Hefsin Merubah as the basis for the halacha.
No, we don't use Hefsin Merubah as a basis for halacha in general. We use Hefsin Merubah when you have an opinion in halacha that usually we say we might not follow that opinion, but we're able to follow it in this case because of Hefsin Merubah. Hefsin Merubah by itself is generally not a basis in halacha. I guess maybe you have some rare exceptions, but in general, but in general, not. Okay. Anyway, we said in the Braisa, Bishla al-Gabe Gecholim. Now, up until now, we were talking about the case where you put the wood, you put the klipe orlo or whatever in the oven and lit them on fire. And as they're burning, the bread is baking. But then we said that suppose you waited until they turned into charcoal and then you bake the bread on the charcoal. Then we said, Divrei Hakol Apas Muteres. Everybody would agree the bread is mutter because by the time you're coming to bake the bread, the Isser Hanah is gone and all you have left is the charcoal of it. Then the charcoal and the heat. So, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, V'Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amr of Yechanan. So, Rav Yehuda, so we have a machloikus within that. Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel versus Rav Chiya Ba'ashi in the name of Rav Yechanan. Chad Omer, one of them says, Lo shanu ele gecholim oimimois, that this only applies if the coals are already dim. We learned in Erevin about the word gecholim oimimois, whether it's oimimois with an aleph or an ayin. It means coals that are dim and are not burning so brightly anymore. Ava gecholim loichshes asurin, but if they're brightly burning coals, loichshes literally means whispering. It actually says because like they move around, they look as though they're whispering to each other. Anyway, then that opinion says asurin that would be also according to Rebbe, because then you still have there's enough mamoshus of the issu over there. V'chad omer, the other one says afilu gecholim loichshes namim mutarin, even if it's brightly burning coals, then the bread is still mutar. So let's figure out. I understand why one opinion says that if they're loichshes, they're also mishum diya shvach etzim apas, because we still have the problem that the actual shvach that's caused by the wood goes into the bread. Therefore, in effect, the bread only has one gerdim, and therefore it's also, according to Rebbe. But if you say that even brightly burning coals is mutter, then Then according to Rebbe, when he says that we would say yes shvach etzim apas and the bread is also, what would be the scenario? Even brightly burning coals are mutter. So what according to him would be also? The answer is Amar Papa Shavuka Kenegdei. That would be when there's an actual flame in the oven that is right underneath the bread. And then remember, the ovens in those times were made such that you stuck the bread to the side of the oven. So when you have kinegdo, it literally means in front of it. So in front of it, you have a flame which is directly baking it. That's when Rebbe would say that it's yes shvach etzim apas. But if you just have the coals are at the bottom of the oven and the heat of them is rising, then according to that manda omer, even Rebbe would say it's mutter. So the question is, well, then according to that, it would have to mean the Chachamim, who are saying that the bread is mutter, would have to be talking about even avuka kenegdo, even if there's a flame coming from this wood directly in front of the bread, they would say it's mutter. Well, ela etim de isura la rabbanon hechim ashkachaslu. Then what would be the scenario where the Chachamim would say that wood is also bahana and is and asers other things that are made from it bahana? The answer is Amar Amin Bachama Bashar Shifa. If let's say you took the wood and made a chair out of it, then Chacham would say that kind of hanah from it would be aser. Yeah, let's say you took a person took wood from an asherah tree and made a chair out of it, the chair would be aser to sit on. But according to that way of looking at it, according to this one mandama, the Chachamim would say, any time that you have a Dvar Isu and you're using it for firewood, when are you getting the Hanah from it? When it's burning or after it's burning, and at that point it's burnt. So therefore there's nothing, therefore there's no Isu to create a problem. Even Avruka Kinegda, even you have the flame is directly in front of the bread and directly baking it, but it's coming from the part of the wood that was already burnt. And the part of the wood that was already burnt is not also Bana anymore. That's how wood is made to work. But still, according to that mandama, the Chum would still say it's also. Whereas Rebbe would say that yes, Shvach Eitzim Apas applies in that case, but still, according to that mandama, only if Avruka Kinegda. If it's coals, even if the coals are still luscious, even if they're still live, hot, very hot coals, then according to that mandama, Rebbe would allow it. Whereas according to the other one, Rebbe would say that no, only if they're Rebbe would allow it, only if it's Kecholim Oimimos, only if it's dim coals. Yeah. Okay. Next, most of the Rishonim, by the way, paskin like the lenient opinion in that one, that it is mutter even if gecholim loichshes, even though we said before the halacha is like Rebbe, but if it's only gecholim loichshes, then it would be mutter. It's only if avuka kinegdo, only if you have a flame directly in front of the bread directly baking it. That's when Rebbe would say that it's also. That's when Rebbe would say it's also, and the Chum would say it's mutter. And we said before the halacha is like Rebbe. We said before, the halacha is like Rebbe. Remember, that's why Shmuel flipped around the braisa. Yeah. Okay. Next. Bomine Rami Bachama Merav Chista. Rami Bachama asked Rav Chista as follows. Tanushi Sikhi Ba'atze Hektish. Suppose now, let's talk about another thing that's also Bahana. You use wood of Hektish to fire up an oven. But Alpha Bayas Apas, and he baked bread in that oven. Lira Bonan, the Shoto Bakamaisa. Well, according to Rebbe, obviously there's no question. If it's also in the first case, it's also over here as well. But according to the Chachamim, who say that's Mutter in the previous case, what would they say over here? Omale Apas Asura. So Rav Chista tells him the bread would actually be also even according to the Chachamim. So the question is, Ma ben Zula Orla. So what's the difference? Why by Orla are we saying that the Chachamim would allow it and here not? Omar Rava, Hochi Hashta. So Rava says, what kind of a comparison is that? Obviously, there's a big difference. Orla Betela Mamasayim. Orla can be bought to 1 in 200. So therefore, once it's burnt, once any part of the Orla is burnt, and that's when you're getting the flame from it. We just said, the Chachamim say, even though Avruka Kinegda, they would still allow it, because the Isser itself has been burnt up by that point, as opposed to Hektish, Afilu Be'elef Lei Botel. Hektish is never bottled, even in 1,000. And Taka, why not? So Tosfos actually mentions a reason that actually it's not so much a Chumra. Actually, Tosfos asks the question, it's not really a Chumra in Hektish per se, it's more a matter of Hektish is a Dover Sheyesh Lei Matirin. We have a concept that if you have a Dover Sheyesh Lei Matirin, something which is Osir, but there's an easy way for it to become Mutter, then we say it's not bottled even by Elif. One example of that, let's say, is for example, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, which is not bottled even in many others, because it's a Dover Sheyesh Lei Matirin. Once Yom Tov is over, the egg will be Mutter. There are other examples like that also. Here with Hektish, it's a Dover Sheyesh Lei Matirin because you can be Mechalal it. You can be Poida the Hektish. So Tosfos wonders then in that case, then it's not really a Chumre in Hektish per se. It's a Chumre in Dover Sheyesh Lei Matirin. So why? So, but still, the Gemara is assuming that it's a certain Chumre in Hektish itself. Okay. So Rami Bachama's question doesn't really begin. Obviously, there's a reason what to be Machmer on Hektish more than Orla. Ela Omar Rava, I Kashalei Hakasha. Rather, Rava says, if Rami Bachama is going to have a question in connection with using Hektish, Hochi Kashalei. This is really what he should be asking. Vahalei Moal Hamasik. Now, when you have the one who put the wood in the oven is the one who committed Me'ilah. Now, we have a general rule with many things of Hektish. Actually, Rashi says the rule is anything that doesn't have Kedusha Saguf, as soon as a person uses it for his purposes, then it no longer belongs to Hektish. It's called Ein Moyel Acham Moyel B'Mukdashin. If you have, for example, let's say in this case, the wood, it doesn't have Kedusha Saguf, it only has Kedusha Damim. The first person who uses it takes it out of the reshus of Hektish and makes it now it's cholin. So he's chayev to bring a korban me'ilah, but then and to repay Hektish for it plus a chomish. But the next person who uses it is not committing me'ilah.
He got it from the Beis Hamikdash, let's say, yeah. So that, wherever it is he got it from. So the question now, therefore, is, so why should the bread be osir? As soon as he committed me'ila, the wood became cholin. So now, as soon as he put the wood in the oven already, he committed me'ila. By the time you fire up the oven, the wood is already cholin. So why is the bread osir? That should really be the question. So Rav is saying, that's the question Rami Bar Chama should have asked. So the Papa answers, what we're talking about over here is wood, that it's not wood for bedek abayis, where just as kedushas damim, what it is it's wood that he designated, that he plans to sell that wood and use the money he gets from it to buy a shlomim. Now, shlomim are kodshim kalim, and the rule is me'ila does not apply to kodshim kalim, because kodshim kalim are not the din is me'ila only applies to kodshei Hashem, things that belong exclusively to Hekdesh or to the Beis Hamikdash. A shlomim doesn't really, because the owner ends up eating the meat of it. In the end, what happens is after the shlomim is shechted and they take out the emurim go completely l'Hashem, they're completely burnt on the Mizbeach, those me'ila applies to. But as long as before the animal is shechted, me'ila doesn't apply to it. So therefore, va'alibe de Rabbi Yehuda, de omab Hekdesh b'shegeg m'schalal, So when Rav Chista answered the question and he said that the bread becomes also, it was as follows. Va'alibe de Rabbi Yehuda, he was following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That he says Hekdesh only becomes Neschalel. This rule that we just said, the first person who uses it takes it out of the Rishos of Hekdesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that only applies if he does it B'shoigig, not if he does it B'mezid. So B'mezid my time aloy. Now why if he does it B'mezid, why is it if he does it B'mezid, it doesn't take it out of the Rishos of Hekdesh? Kiven de lav ba me'ilahu, because since he's not high of a korban me'ilah for it, therefore loy nafik l'cholin, so therefore it doesn't go out l'cholin. In order for it to go l'cholin, it has to be that he committed me'ilah, and here, in other words, that he's high of for the consequences of me'ilah, namely a korban, and here you don't have that. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, therefore, it only works for shogeg. Shlomim nami, by the same logic, kiven de lav bar me'ila ninhu, since a shlomim is not subject to me'ila, as we just said, because not kodshei Hashem, therefore, loy nafka l'cholin, therefore, the wood that you were matpis for shlomim, so if it's a shlomim, even if you used it for shogeg, if let's say the animal itself, or in this case, the wood, which has, in effect, duchas shlomim, because you're going to use this wood in order to bring a korban shlomim, to use the money for a korban shlomim. So therefore, even if you used it b'shogeg, it's the equivalent of using something else b'mezin, and it doesn't, because no me'ila applies, therefore it doesn't go out l'cholin. Only when me'ila kicks in, only then does it go out l'cholin. Therefore this wood remains hektish. And since it remains hektish, then we can talk about that the bread is also. Tosfos points out you didn't have to bring in ba'atzeh shlomim davka. You could have said it's regular atzeh hektish, and we're talking about that he put it in the oven deliberately, knowing that it's wood of hektish. But people don't usually do that. We learned in the first parak, for example, that we said he had chometz that belonged to hektish. You don't even have to put a mechitza in front of it, because people usually stay away from it because people are afraid of the concept of me'ila. So here, similarly, you most of the time people are not going to be over on me'ila. So that's the answer. So the reason why Rav Chista said that with atzeh hektish it's osur, is because no me'ila has been done, because even though we're talking maybe he did it b'shogeg, as me'ila usually is, but here we're talking about something where me'ila does not even apply to it b'shogeg, because it has the kedusha of shlomim, because the money of it is going to be used to buy a shlomim rather than to go to bedek abayis as usual. Okay, so the question is, so you're telling me that's a general rule? Whenever the other way around, then it means that whenever the one who put the wood in, whenever he did commit me'ila, then we're saying the wood becomes cholin, and therefore the bread is not going to be usur. We learn in a braisa, or it's actually it's
Yeah, we learn a braisa. It's actually a mishnah at the end. It's actually a mishnah at the end of Tumura. No, maybe not. I guess it's a braisa, whatever. Kolon is sruf and Ephron mutter chutz me atzei asher over efer hekdesh. Anything that the din is, you have to burn. Now we have the mishnah over there at the end of Tumura describes, as we talked about yesterday, there are some isurei hana that the mitzvah is you have to burn them, as we're going to start discussing now about chometz and about noiser, and there are other ones where the mitzvah is you have to bury them. The difference is that the ones that have to be burnt, the ashes of them are mutter. Once you accomplish, like we said the other day, once the mitzvah has been accomplished with something, then it's mutter. So therefore, here the mitzvah has been accomplished, it was burnt. Therefore, the ashes are mutter, as opposed to things that have to be buried. Then even if you did burn them, the ashes are osur. So the braisa says anything that has to be burnt, the ashes are osur. Chutz me atzei asheira ve'efer hekdesh, except for wood from an asheira, the ashes of it remain osur, and the ashes of Hekdesh. So therefore, so you see, even after it was burned, and that means somebody committed Me'ila with it, then it still remains also. So the answer is chutz me'atzei asheira, ve'efer Hekdesh lo'olam also. Ashes of Hekdesh are always also. So we see another now. So Rashi explains the reason why the Braisa uses a different expression, chutz me'atzei asheira, versus efer hekdesh la'olam aser, because in asheira, what you can do is there is a way in which ashes from an asheira are mutter, namely if the goy is mevatel it. Like we said before, a goy can be mevatel the avodah zarah that he worshipped, right? And then you burn it, and then the ashes will be mutter. Well, right. As opposed to with hekdesh, there's no such thing. Hekdesh usually means Hekdesh Bedek Abayis, where it has Kedushas Domim, not Kedushas Aguf. So here, right, as opposed to the case of a Shlomim. Right, so Tosfos says, right, again, the Gemara could answer that that Efer Hekdesh over here means where it was wood that was designated for a Shlomim, but the Gemara wants to find a way, even where it's generically Hekdesh, where the same din would apply. So Omer Rami Bachoma, the answer is, that the braisa is talking about over there is not that a person deliberately took the wood and used it for fire, and not deliberately, well, okay, you deliberately used it for fire, but it was b'shoigeg, he didn't know it was hekdesh. Then we said, yes, me'ila applies. What we mean over here is that a fire broke out and burnt this wood. Deleka inish denimel, so nobody actually committed me'ila, therefore the wood remained hekdesh, and therefore the ashes also remain hekdesh. Because, and therefore you can't use them, because there was no me'ila, because there was nobody to do me'ila, the fire broke out on its own, right? Rav Shmaya Amar, but Oisin Shtun and Gnisa. Rav Shmaya says, no, what you're talking about is when we say La'olam Osir, we mean there's a specific ashes of Hekdesh that is always Osir, namely the ones that you have to have Gnisa, namely the ones of Terumas Hadeshen that we talked about yesterday or the day before. The Tanya, Vesamai Benachas, the Pasuk says about the Terumas Hadeshen, Vesamai, you should place it down Benachas, gently. Vesamai means kuloi, that you have to put all of it down. Vesamai shalo yafazer. Vesamai also means that you shouldn't scatter it. You have to put it down gently and not allow it to scatter. And as we said, it got swallowed up in the ground. It's tunin gniza. So therefore, that ashes, yes, is we said before, there was xeris akosov, that those ashes remain also. We said by them, we said by Bigde Kahuna, Shnek Sumaboyim Kachod, the whole discussion that we had yesterday. But other than that, regular ashes of Hekdesh, where, according to both answers, a regular case where a person takes wood of Hekdesh, b'shoigig, and uses it, then yes, the wood will be, the wood will become cholin, and therefore the ashes of it, of course, will be mutter, and the bread baked with it will also be mutter. Only if you have, so the case where we would say the bread is osur, again, is only if it's wood that was designated to use to bring a korban shlomim. So therefore, me'ila doesn't apply to it, just like it doesn't apply to the shlomim itself. But if it was regular atzei hekdesh, regular wood of hekdesh, then the only way the ashes would be osur is, as we said, if a fire broke out by itself and nobody actually committed me'ila with the wood before it was reduced to ashes. The bread would be mutter, therefore, if it was wood of regular hekdesh. The bread would also be mutter if it was wood of shlomim and he deliberately used it, but usually people don't do that, as Tosfos says. And it would be also if it was wood of shlomim and he did it b'shoigig, because then me'ila doesn't apply to that wood. Me'ila can never apply to that wood because of shlomim itself. Me'ila doesn't apply to. Again, me'ila is only going to apply to the emurim, only to the emurim of the shlomim after they're taken out of it. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein biur v'chula. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, the only valid way of biur chametz is burning it. And the Chum say that you could, the Chum said that no, you could crumble it and throw it to the wind or throw it into the sea. So first we're going to have a discussion where Rabbi Yehuda gets this idea that you dafka have to burn it. And then the next discussion is going to be what the Chachamim say. And at the end of it also, we'll talk about who the halacha is like. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ein biur chometz ala sreifa. The only valid way of biur chometz is to burn it. And he says, v'hadin noisin. In fact, you can prove it by a kavachomer. Uman noiser she'enim v'al yuro by yimotze ton sreifa. Madach noiser, where there's no isser of bal yiro bal yimotze, you're not allowed to leave over from a korban. And if you do, you have to burn it. But there's no isser of having that noiser in your possession until it's burned. And yet, ton sreifa, yet the Torah tells us noiser has to be burned. Chometz sheyeshnim bal yiro bal yimotze lekol sheken ton sreifa. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that chometz we have bal yiro bal yimotze that you should require burning it? Omruloi, so the Chacham answered him, kol din sha'at the dun t'chilose lahachmer v'sofer lahokol ein edin. If you're trying to make a kavachomer, and the kavachomer is actually going to wind up with a kula rather than a chumra, then it's not a valid kavachomer. Meaning, so in this case, it's going to result in a kula. Loi matza etzim l'sofer. What happens if you can't find wood to burn the chametz? Yehei yoshev a bottle. Are you supposed to just sit there and not burn the chametz? V'atoda amat tashbisu somim atechem. The Torah says you have to get rid of chametz from your houses, meaning b'chol dover shati yochal ashbisu. Whatever you could use to destroy the chametz, you have to. So therefore, you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying you dafka have to burn it, but that could result in a kula, namely that you're not going to end up burning it if you don't have wood. You can't do that. Therefore, it's not a valid kavachomer. So now we did talk about in the first parak that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi mentions it over here, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that bishas biuroi hashbasase b'chol dover, that in the time of biur, which what that means, we'll talk about in a second, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees you can get rid of it however you want to. But the point is, let's say now Rashi learns that bishas biuroi versus shaloi bishas biuroi means like this. Bishas biuroi would be, Bishas biurei, one way of understanding would be at the time when you chayev to be mevayret, namely during the sixth hour, and shaloi bishas biurei would be before that. So Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, if you want to burn it, so for example, Rashi says over here, let's say, for example, you plan to leave on a trip within 30 days of Pesach, and we learned in the first parak that you have to do biur chametz before you leave. So that's shaloi b'shas biuroi, and Rabbi Yehuda would insist over there that you have to burn it with wood. So therefore, if you don't have wood, what are you supposed to do? Are you not going to be mavirat? Then you're not accomplishing the mitzvah. As opposed to b'shas biuroi, fine. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree b'shas biuroi during the sixth hour, you can burn it with whatever you need to. But that's still you still have cases where it's going to be yoshev a bottle. That's according to Rashi. Then Tosfos learns that b'shas biuroi actually means. It means the time when people regularly burn it, which is earlier in the morning on Erev Pesach, for example, the beginning of the sixth hour, as opposed to once it comes the time when it's also Daraisa, beginning from the seventh hour, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you have to dafka burn it with wood. So the question would be, at that point, the Torah says, Tashbisu, you have to be getting rid of chametz from your possession, and you're telling him just sit there and don't do it because you don't have firewood. There is also, I think, the Rosh has an understanding of Rashi that only during the sixth hour is it considered Shas Biuroi, before or after it would be Shaloi B'Shas Biuroi. And it's kind of a combination of what we said before of Rashi and what Tosfos is saying. Whatever the case, there is a time when Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only valid way to do it is burning, and the Chacham is saying, but even during that time, the result is Yoshev a bottle, that he's not going to be able to do anything if he has no firewood. So that's not a valid Kavachoyim, they tell him. So the Gemara continues, Chozer Rabbi Yehuda v'donei din acher. So okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, you shot down my kavachomer, I'll try something else. Instead of a kavachomer, I'll do a mamotzinu, I'll do a binyanav. Noisa b'sreifa, noisa osa b'achila, v'chometz osa b'achila. Both noisa and chometz have this in common. They're both also to eat. Ma noisa b'sreifa, av chometz b'sreifa. We find the Torah explicitly says about noisa, you have to burn it. Therefore, therefore chometz should be the same thing. So they answer him, instead you could refute that mamatzinu based on nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela, but you don't have to burn it. He says there's a difference. A noiser is not only you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have hanah from it either. But chametz also ba'achilu v'hanah. Chametz is also ba'hanah. Man noiser toin sreifa, chametz toin sreifa. You can't contradict that from nevela, because nevela, as we learned as the other day, is mutar ba'hanah. Amru loy, so they answered him, shor anisko yechiyach. Nu, we can also slog you up from shor anisko. She also ba'achilu v'hanah ve'ena toin sreifa. Shor anisko, we said, is also ba'hanah, but you don't have to burn it. I'm sure Niskel doesn't say specifically what you do with it. It just says sokol yisokol while you're achol sorry. What happens after that doesn't specifically say, but we said the skin is also as well. It doesn't specifically say whether you have to burn it or bury it. Pasha, so you can just leave it over there and eventually it rots away. But whatever, the point is you don't specifically have a mitzvah to burn it. Omer lahen hefresh. So he says again, there's a difference. Noisa osa b'achilo v'anav v'onush kores. V'chometz osa b'achilo v'anav v'onush kores. So you have three factors that noisa and chometz have in common. Man noisa b'sreifa, av chometz b'sreifa. So the same thing, noisa and chometz should be the same as far as the burning. Omer lo chelbo shor shor anisko yechiyach. So they say, well, we can contradict you based on the chelev of the shor anisko. Being chaylev, a person is chayv koris for eating it, and being from a shoran niskel, it's also ba'achila anyway because it's chaylev. It's also ba'hanah being from a shoran niskel. The ain toin sreifa, and still it doesn't require sreifa. So therefore, you see. And actually Tosfos asks, why Taka don't we say maybe indeed the chelev of Asher Niskel should require Sreifa, maybe the same Mamatzinu should tell us it is. The answer is because after all, it's different than Noiser. There's no Isser of Bal Tosiru. There's no Isser, by Noiser, there's an Isser of leaving over from the Korban until the morning and making it Noiser. Here, there's no Isser to leave over the chelev of Asher Niskel. So it's not completely similar to Noiser. Therefore, there's no reason to say that we should have to burn it. So we'll stop over here and we'll continue next time. That's the Gemara is going to continue on Chof Chesam and Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to bring in this matter of Baal Teh Siru and try to prove it from that. No, so it's not to prove that the chelev of Asher Niskel has to be burned, but rather to prove that chometz has to be burned. Ultimately, he's trying to prove it from Noiser. So far, the Chachamim are telling him it's not a valid proof from Noiser because you see that there were other. So he has not. Sort of start over again. He has to bring another way in which chometz and Noiser are similar, but chelev of Asher Niskel is not. And that'll take us tomorrow, Beis Hashem.